May we be helped to commence our morning service by singing together the first 7 verses of the second part of hymn 308, hymn 308, part 2. Singing together the first 7 verses, the tune Trentham, number 73. If this be, Lord, thy way, who then can hope to gain that prize such numbers never seek? Such numbers seek in vain. I just pause there, friends. The hymn is not saying that if ye seek the Lord, ye will seek in vain. It's referring to those with a form of religion that is not a real religion, not a true seeking, not a true knocking. 'Tis thy almighty grace that can suffice alone. Thou givest us strength to run the race and then bestowest the crown. Cheer up, ye travelling souls, on Jesus' aid rely. He sees us when we see not him, and always hears our cry. The first 7 verses of the second part of hymn 308, to the tune Trentham, number 73.
That's right. Together from the most holy word of God, from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. We'll read chapter 13 down to and including verse 43. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, reading the first 43 verses. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom. but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. May the Lord be pleased to bless that portion of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most kind and gracious God, thou hast spared unworthy lives to gather once again in thy courts here below, this little corner of thy vineyard. In wrath thou hast remembered mercy. But oh, that door of mercy is not closed. The day of grace has not ended. And all that might be found amongst those truly wrought upon by the Spirit, then they cried unto the Lord in their troubles. And the greatest of those troubles will be soul trouble. Soul trouble. And what is soul trouble? But that one brought to see what he is before thee, a holy and a heart-searching God, brought to tremble under the law under which he is condemned. Yes, he's condemned because he knows of a truth, thy word declares, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And he has to confess, I have sinned. I have come short, very short. Ah, there is sin mixed with all I do, and my very best is stained and dyed. My all is nothing worth. Ah, to have that sense of what we are. Until we're brought there, we have no need of Christ. Christ is but a name. Perhaps one, even like those of old, that followed thee for all those miracles that satisfied their carnal lusts and their desires. They saw those miracles that filled their bellies. They saw those miracles which to them were in that way a natural wonder, when thou didst heal the sick, and yea, in that way, raise the dead. But oh, to know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. And that one brought him guilty. That will be his desire. Give me Christ, or else I die. His desire will be, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. His desire will be to see that blood of thine, which thou didst freely give. Ah, yes, in that way of offering. For without the shedding of blood there can be no remission of sin, but thou to see that blood which thou didst freely give, sprinkled upon the doorposts and lintels of their heart. Or to see it and to feel the efficacy of it. But oh, may we be found amongst those that live to feel our need by the power of God, by the blessed Spirit working within us, that live to feel our need. For thou welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Oh, we may have many needs in providence, many needs regarding time. We thank Thee that Thou dost appear for this one and that one in those things, and we've known it in our own path. But the days of our life here below shall come to an end, and those things which Thou hast granted for our path, they shall likewise have no more use. But oh, to have that good hope raised up within, that good hope through grace. Ah, yes, to know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. And so we plead, do remember us each in our path, and direct our steps, undertake for us and manage all. Yes, we have a path which Thou hast appointed, but oh, leave us not to just settle upon time things. For eternity before us each, we have a never dying soul, we have a day of judgment. We'll each have to appear before the judge of all the earth, and shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Ah, yes, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So leave us not to that which will come short of Thee. Leave us not to our deceitful heart and the subtlety of Satan. Yes, he can deceive. He can deceive. He can lull us to sleep and rock us to sleep. In Satan's cradle, doth he not do that to many? How solemn. Ah, yes, a form of godliness which hath no power. A form of godliness, which, yes, in that last great day, they shall be found, shall they not? Ah, amongst those that have come up some other way, they're resting upon a form, and know not the power. And so we plead, do take us each in hand, from the youngest to the oldest here. And even if we are found with our name upon a church roll, oh, how we often thought, like the apostle. Yes, he's found, no doubt, in that way, with his name entered here or there amongst those whom he gathered. But oh, and he is found also standing upon the walls of Zion. But oh, his concern was this, that he should not be found one that, yes, his own heart had deceived him. And then that day shall be found a cast away at last. And so we plead, do search us each. Try our ways. Ah, yes, try our ways. And bring us each that true repentance and godly sorrow for sin, that which need not be repented of. But oh, to know it is to smite upon the breast and cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And so we plead for each one. We will not be unmindful of those away. Remember them where they are. And to remember, as we pleaded in the prayer meeting, her sister in the faith, Lord, remember her now. To grant Thy presence to her where she is, and favour her in her soul. Oh, we've often proved, have we not, Thou art not confined to place or means or mode. And so do go to her where she is. Do favour her. Favour her with the blessing of the Lord which maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. And so we plead for each one, yes, each one that has gathered. Thou knowest how we've come into Thy courts, and we do have those paths of time. We do have those cares, and we do find at times, yes, we're like Martha. We come to Thy courts, and those things of the past days, past weeks, perhaps past months, they burden us. They weigh us down, and we cannot lift ourselves above them. So lift us above all earth's carking cares, and may we worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Oh, do grant it, Lord, we plead. and draw us even this day. Draw me and we'll run after thee. We cannot draw ourselves. We cannot give ourselves one good desire. And left to ourselves, we can be found in thy courts and be as earthy could be. Ah, as earthy could be. But oh, do make us fit for the Master's use, whether we speak or whether we hear. Oh, make us each right and keep us each right. Hold thou me up, we have to plead, as we've seen those things which have taken place. It brings us to this, hold thou me up and I shall be safe. Knowing of a truth that the seed of every evil known to man under the sun is in our heart. Oh, and left to ourselves, what could we be capable of? We tremble at the thought. So leave us not to bring shame or reproach upon thy name. Oh, that name which we trust has been unto some of us, that name which is above every name, that name which has been made precious to us. Precious in that way, because we've been by faith enabled to view one. Ah, yes, a sin bearer. And in that personal way, our sin bearer. And shall not then sin be exceedingly sinful? Nothing to be trifled with. We won't walk and do as we list. There will be that walking in the fear of the Lord and eschewing evil. Ah, yes, but that old nature can soon rise up. Ah, soon rise up. And we can be overtaken in a moment. And oh, how solemn then. How solemn to bring shame, reproach upon the name of Christ. Ah, that name which is precious. Ah, that name of that one that is the altogether lovely. And so we plead, ever keep us. Ever keep us upon our watchtower. And ah, yes, even like Joseph of old. He came into that path of temptation, did he not? Well, it was in his path. One tempted him. So did not I, because of the fear of the Lord. And so may it please him. Oh, we might know the fear of the Lord within us. Ah, yes, so we plead thy upholding and thy keeping. And do remember our dear young ones that gather here. And we look upon the very young. We look upon those that are now growing up and they begin to show their individual personalities. We look upon those that now have those prospects before them and they seek for them in life. Ah, may they be able to call upon thee to seek thy face in all things. Ah, to seek first the kingdom of God and thy righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. But all to cast their burdens upon thee, to seek that thou hast govern them, guide them, that thou hast made ways for them. Ah, yes, and even in that way, to close up a way which may seem, yes, appealing to our natural being. Close up those ways. Hedge up the path if need be. Oh, as this one looks back to that time those years ago, the prospects seemed very appealing. The prospect of that position that we pursued after was very appealing. It had much to, recommend itself to my old carnal reasoning. Many ways it did. But oh, in that day, in that interview, we had to speak. We had to speak and say even this. That if it involved that labour upon the Sabbath day, or anything involved with the Sabbath, on the Sabbath day in that way of business, we could not enter into it. And so it stirred up the wrath of man that day. We felt the wrath of man as that one stood up to raise his voice against us. But oh, there I felt that peace within, that peace which passeth all understanding. And so to enable us each to, yes, in that way, it will cause us to tremble. This poor one trembled that morning. But in the fear of the Lord we could not venture, although it seemed very good. To our natural thoughts, very good indeed. But it's not to be so. Not to be so. And so then they were seized then to fall into thy hands and say, Lord, do what seemeth thou good, only lead me forth for the right way, that I might go to that city of habitation whose builder and maker is God. We plead then for that help to each one. And we would not be unmindful of those that we know of in Zion that walk in affliction's path. And some younger, and one we know of recently undergone that operation. We plead that thou wouldest grant that perfect healing, that these things are, yes, might be amongst those all things that work together for good. Our old nature cannot see it. Our old nature cannot understand it, but may it please thee. There might be through these terrible things in righteousness. Some we trust we proved it so. By these terrible things in righteousness, thou dost answer. Yes, and thou dost guide. And thou dost, yes, even in those paths, bring us out of that bondage. And into that liberty which is in Christ. So to remember what those in their afflictions, whether young or in the midst of life or older, remember those in the even time of life, they feel the mud wall cottage shake, heart and flesh begin to fail, but all be to them their remembrance. Bring to their remembrance all the words which thou hast spoken to them. Bring to their remembrance. They might see those stones of help, those Ebenezer stones over their pilgrimage here below, whilst they've journeyed in this waste howling wilderness. That, yes, that thou hast made it a waste howling wilderness. And they've had many a thorn and a snare and no doubt a wily Satan. Like those serpents in the wilderness and those many times of darkness and distress. Yet can they not say hitherto? Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And he hath helped us hitherto will help us all our journey through and give us daily cause to raise new Ebenezers to thy praise. And to remember Zion, we look upon Zion. Oh, how solemn is the day. How solemn is the day in which we live. Yes, a little leaven does begin to creep in. It does begin to leaven the whole lump. We look at the Church of England and what an effect it has had there. It is now a church which is in that way not a church. It is not the church of God. For they serve not God. They've turned aside from thy word. They've forsaken thy laws. They live as they list. They do as they please. Those abominations are not abomination anymore. How solemn indeed. So ever keep us that narrow way. And it is a narrow way. There are those which try to broaden the way. But it is a narrow way. Thy word declares it. Narrow is the way. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way. And few there be that find it. The solemnity of it. It makes us tremble. Are we in that narrow way? Are we in that narrow way which leadeth unto life? And so we plead. Lead us each forth by that right way. Yes. We shall know the scorn of the world and the mockings of the world. For we'll be as a speckled bird. We shall be seen. We shall be seen and noted down as being different. And how solemn if it is not so. If it is not so. Yes. Make us right and keep us right. It comes back to that. And all to be found amongst those that, yes, bear the reproaches of the world. But thou, what a mercy. Thou art able to succour such and strengthen such. Thou didst bear the reproach of men. Do then grant that gracious enabling and that succouring unto one and another. Yes, that does walk in the fear of the Lord, to walk rightly. Rightly. Yes, it may then bring the scorn of man upon them, their laughter, their mockery. But oh, do grant that strength sufficient in it all, that grace sufficient in it all. So remember thy true church and strengthen those things which remain, those things which are ready to die. And also this guilty land and nation, we seem to be in a state of confusion. And that which has been done in our nation in those recent 2 or 3 years, perhaps at most, for the floodgate is open. But now there's a confusion, such confusion, because they brought in one sin, they've allowed for one sin, they then allow for another. And so it goes on. Confusion of gender, etc. Oh, the solemnity of it. Have mercy upon us. And we look upon those sins in the nation, and we deserve to be destroyed like those cities of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah. They're the same sins that are enacted in that way, willfully as regards the law of the land. Willfully as regards the law of the land, for the law of the land is slacked. The law is slacked. And do we not read of it in one of the minor prophets? The law is slacked. I believe it's Habakkuk. And so it is. How solemn. But stir us up, we might be found amongst those that sigh and cry unto thee daily for the abominations done in the land. Do have mercy upon us. Do have mercy upon us. But we thank thee that we can still gather without the fear of man or authority. None can lawfully make us afraid. Oh, we plead then. Break the bread of life unto us. May thy word go forth in thy power. We're not to diminish a word. Yes, our old nature sometimes says, well, you can't speak in that way. But oh, we remember that chapter that brought to our mind in the burden and exercise of the ministry. We're not to diminish the word. We're not to diminish it. Whether men will hear or forbear, so do grant that faithfulness to labour in thy name. yes, we know that natural man will be offended at times by thy word, but all we're to speak with faithfulness and commit it all unto thee. Thou canst make that word which may cut up root and branch. It may be that which brings about that newness of life. Yes, may it please thee, there might be so. So do help this poor sinner now. We thank thee for all thy temporal mercies. We've lacked nothing. Great has been thy faithfulness. But do help, we plead. Bless us each together. Send none empty away. Remember our dear friend at the desk, thou knowest all that concerns him. Yes, in those duties that fall to him, we plead that thou hast granted that strength sufficient each time. We plead all these things, praying for the pardon of every sin. And all we've asked of this, we pray for Christ's sake. Amen.
The notices are that, God willing, Mr. Bernard Burgess will preach again this evening, and Mr. Gilbert Hyde on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Timothy Kingham next Lord's Day afternoon, with the service to commence at 3 p.m. There will be no evening service next Lord's Day evening, and as helped, there will be a red address during the prayer meeting and a red sermon during the morning service. Next Lord's Day is also the day appointed for our monthly collection. May we now be helped to continue our worship. singing the last seven verses of the second part of hymn 308 to the same tune, Trentham, number 73. Continuing the second part of hymn 308 at verse 8. Again we cannot see his helping hand, but feel, and though we neither feel nor see, his hand sustains us still. He gently leads us on, protects from fatal harms, and when we faint and cannot walk, he bears us in his arms. Continuing the second part of hymn 308, tune Trentham, number 73, continuing from verse 8.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn to the chapter we read, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. We'll read verse 30. Let both grow up together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them into bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, reading verse 30. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. All these solemn portions that at times we would almost shrink from. I can't say I've ever heard a sermon preached from this verse, but nevertheless it is the word of the Lord. It is the word of the Lord. And our natural thought is, well, we don't want to alarm anybody. Yes, our natural thoughts can get in the way, our carnal reasoning. But the word of God is the word of God. And here, let both grow together until the harvest. And the Lord spake many times, did he not, in the form of parables. Yes, because he used those things which were around in nature that could be viewed by man. And yet through those parables are also hidden. The word was hidden from those that were lying in wickedness. But yes, these things were spoken to them that they might view. Because they can see, man can see those things which are around us if we're favoured with eyesight to see. And as of recent times I've looked upon, having had an interest in it for many years, that which is going on in the fields around. And as we see, yes, on the one hand, those goodly crops that are coming toward the time of harvest, there are likewise in them that which is as the tares. They've had to grow up together. They've had to grow up together. But there shall come that time of harvest. Yes, and as I don't want to speak too much about things of time, but I notice there is now a particular machine which can remove these the heads from the tares before harvest takes place. They are removed so that they can be burnt. Ah, the solemnity of it. And so as we look upon these things round about us, it brings a different view in that way upon the word of God. And we see a little what is meant. And it makes us tremble. It makes us tremble. Oh, and it makes us, we trust in that way as a searching of our heart. Are we found amongst the wheat or the tares? Yes, I know the expert agronomist, he can detect and measure when it is in that early stage. He can measure, detect. But many of those things cannot be seen immediately. They cannot be seen immediately. And certainly in our day, there's that whereby it got so bad with certain weeds, such as the black grass, that there is that propensity that it was, or that thought that it was best to remove everything and burn it, that it might be even that which was good that was not worth keeping, if there was that within it that would have that seed that would go on and multiply even more, to the detriment of future crops. But now, yes, as I said just now, there's that way whereby the husbandman. He can remove those heads which appear very prominent above the top of the wheat for that destruction. Yes, and as we read those portions, and it speaks of speaks much, does it not, upon that seed, yes, even that seed which is sown, that good seed. And may the Lord search our hearts in this also. That good seed. Yes, going back to the beginning of that chapter, the solemnity of it, there are many that have sat under the sound of the gospel. And they heard perhaps with great delight, natural delight. But all, they're like those that the seed fell amongst the stones. Yes, for those that do not hear at all, it makes no difference to them, for they're like the seed that fell by the wayside. But those that are that seed that fell amongst the stones, fell amongst the stones when the sun was up. It had no root and it withered and died. And just before I came into the chapel, my mind, and I looked it up regarding Christ. Well, that good seed which is sown in the heart of a poor sinner, that which is sown in the heart of a poor sinner, what a mercy. What a mercy if, yes, we're found amongst those that desire, brought to desire Christ because we have a need. That brought in the very soul. And that soul cries out for the living God. He cannot be satisfied with anything less. It's Christ. Give me Christ or else I die. Yes, you might find there perhaps amongst thorns, and some of us we find we're amongst thorns often. But what a mercy if we're not found amongst that seed that has fallen the stony ground that springs up and then withers and dies. Yes, you turn to that chapter in John's Gospel. So it came to my mind just before coming back into the chapel. But all we read what Christ spake concerning himself being that bread of life. That bread of life. Yes, I'll read just a few verses. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Yes, that manna for poor needy sinners, which is Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Yes, evermore give us this bread. And then you read on down that chapter. And it's a solemn chapter, is it not? Very solemn. As it comes toward the close, but Christ speaks of himself in that precious way when it's made known unto a poor sinner regarding himself being the bread of life. Yes, by the offering himself once for sin, once and for all for sin, is that perfect sacrifice. And he speaks as he ought, yes, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is a bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And then we read this, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And then Jesus then once again said unto them, Then Jesus said, unto them, verily, verily, a truth. It cannot be otherwise. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, he shall live by me. And then you read, as it comes toward the close of that chapter, the solemnity of it. Ah, yes, those that have a form of godliness have no power. Like the tares. Tares. And perhaps in some ways they may stand above others, and you feel like this, well, what am I? The apostle declared of himself, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is his grace given. Yes, unto me who am less than the least. Yes, you look at the black grass, it stands that much higher than the wheat. It has that prominence. It is quite a dominant plant, and so it will be. But in that day, oh, what a mercy we have found amongst the less and the least, unto whom the grace of God has been given. That grace, yes, and what is that grace of God? It is that one convicted of his sin. And that grace, that unmerited favour, is when Christ is revealed to them, their hope of glory. Christ is revealed to them as the Lamb of God, once slain. And they taste, handle and feel of him. But those we read, there were many in that day. They followed him for all those many miracles that he did. Ah, yes, and speaking that way like those that have an outward form, but the power of God is not within them. There are those things which satisfy their carnal reasoning, and perhaps in that way raises up a measure of wonderment within. Saw those miracles, many miracles, the many thousands who were fed that particular day. And those that were, yes, the lame healed, the blind have their sight restored, and the deaf hear, and the dead raised to life. But when he spake of this concerning himself, it was because the life was not in them. The root of the matter was not in them. That are at the wrong root. It came from the wrong seed. The enemy had sown it. It was not of God. And we read, do we not? From that time, many, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Many. And reminds us of this. Many are called, but few are chosen. The word of God declares it. It's not the word of man. Many are called, but few are chosen. And yes, we may stand up in the Lord's name, may be sent forth by a church to speak in the Lord's name. We may have our name entered upon a church book, having gone through those ordinances. Oh, I've known those, known places where it has been so. Where are they now? Where are they now? They're offended at the word and they walk no more. They walk no more with him. Ah, yes, and what a mercy if we may be offended at the word. But what a mercy, like that growing crop, it has to have a done to it, which may cause a little disturbance. And certainly, as regards some of those things which are diseases to the crop, it also has an effect upon the crop for a moment. But what does it do? It grows on. It's bettered by it. It doesn't harm it. But that particular that comes forth from that seed, which the enemy have sown, may appear to have that strength and ability that seem to go on. And as I said just now, you feel, well, I can't come that far. I feel to be as nothing. Reminding you once again of the words of the apostle. Unto me, who am the least and the least of all saints, is this grace given. So it is that grace of God that one is wrought upon by the Spirit, is that good seed. But the tares, they may have had a root, but the matter was not right. They were not grafted into the living vine. They were not grafted into the living vine. That's not where they did not receive that which came from the good root of the good seed. Completely separate, but let it graft together. Graft together. To that time of harvest. And so many, from that time, we read in that sixth chapter of John's Gospel, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? We found amongst those few who said just now, many are called, few are chosen. Straight is a gate and narrow is a way and few there be that find it. But are we amongst those few? Are we amongst those few loved with everlasting love? Are we amongst those few loved eternally? Are we amongst those few whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That which cannot be, yes, anyhow, it cannot have any names deleted from it. Neither will it have any names added to it. It was made up in eternity past. But that is the concern to each one of us, whether we stand up in the Lord's name. Is my name recorded there? Is my name recorded there? Or am I amongst those tares that, yes, may stand that measure of the test of time, as it were, and appear and have that appearance of to have that something right and come to the end of the days, be found as a tear. As a tear. I believe it was something called darnel in those days of old. And when I briefly looked at it a day or so on yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, I looked it up but to see what darnel was. And even that grain looks very similar. But the plant looks different, but the grain looks very similar. And I believe from what I remember reading that grain from that darnel in large enough quantities can poison, can be very poisonous. Nothing good in it at all. Nothing good in it from the beginning to the end of it is worthless. Will you also go away? There were a few there, those disciples, the 12 we read. The Lord spake this to them. But when we read concerning those multitudes that followed Christ, at times there were great numbers, thousands. Thousands. It doesn't say how many were there on this particular time, at this particular time, but no doubt it would have been a great number also. They walked no more with him. They were offended at what he spake concerning that, because they had no need. They had no need. Yes, they had no need. Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Christ of God, the Son of God, the Son of the living God, the God-man, the one that truly did condescend to be a man and die. Thou art that Christ. The Son of the living God. Ah, yes, how solemn is that portion there. Many. Men at once walked with him, offended at those words concerning Christ. But unto those, yes, what a mercy. It is of that which is life unto life when it is made known unto them. Yes, at first perhaps they will not fully understand it, but the Spirit will reveal it to them. The blessed Spirit will reveal it to them, and they shall be found amongst those, yes, might be found amongst those that it fell amongst the thorns. For we read, do we not, in the Word of God, thorns also and thistles, that is a path appointed. But thorns also and thistles. Ah, some was choked up by this and that. Some perished when the sun came up. But what a mercy, yes, there'll be that which were brought, that time of harvest, through all, through much tribulation. Ye shall enter the kingdom, much tribulation. Ah, yes, some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, but others fell into good ground and brought forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30-fold. Yes, I've known those times when I've had to deal with those years ago, those arable crops and those that were on the outside edge of the field, whether the briars and the thorns, yes, they came up a little bit spindly. But then nevertheless, there's still a measure found upon them. They're still within that edge of the field. Some went right over the side. If it was broadcast, it fell where there was no prepared ground. There was no prepared ground and it came to nothing. Some fell upon the trackway. Well, it likewise, the birds of the air took it up. Perhaps some fell amongst the stones of the trackway where it was hidden from the birds, but it sprang up with a little bit of moisture there. When the sun came up, it perished and died. But what a mercy. Others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. And so as we have these portions of the Word of God, may they search us out. Even one that stands up in the Lord's name needs that searching out. Are we amongst those that have received? Yes, Almighty God has done it. And Almighty God must prepare the ground of your heart and mine. By nature, your heart and mine is hard. It's unmoved. Yea, it's dead. Nothing can grow there, only sin. Yes, nothing will take place there until that hard heart is broken up. That tillage has taken place, and Almighty God will do that. Ah, be like that stone at the tomb. Who shall roll it away, the stone? Who shall roll it away, the stone from the tomb? Almighty God rolled that stone away. That same power that can move that stone there. That same power that brings about those earthquakes in the earth can rend the hardest heart of stone and make that one willing in the day of his power. It will break up that hard marble of their heart, and that good that husbandman, which is God, will sow that good seed. And so it will be. So it will be. And yes, we know it speaks of sheep, but what a mercy, whether it is looking upon that work of grace and in that regard to a field of wheat, or whether it is like the sheep. We read in John's Gospel, I know my sheep, the certainty of it. I know my sheep, and they shall hear my voice. Man talks if we, by our inaction or not doing things or what we may do, might cause a loss of this one or that one. It cannot be. Neither will it be. It's not dependent upon the man in any way whatsoever. Although we would not want to put a stumbling block in the way of another, but even that stumbling block which man may put there, if it's the work of God, if it's the work of God, it shall be done. I know my sheep, and they shall hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice, and in that time appointed they shall come. So the heavenly seedsman, if we can put it in that way reverently. It's purposely chosen, that seed, in eternity past. Yes, in that way each one's named. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Going back to that Lamb's good life, none can be added to it, none can be taken from it. And all those that are recorded there, there's a certainty of it, they shall come. And that one that takes that seed, and in that way is an appointed time. The husbandman looks over his seed and is an appointed time where that seed will be sown in the heart, that prepared heart, that which is prepared by God. And yes, we know some seeds take longer to germinate than others. Some, it seems, almost you can see the growth taking place. But what a mercy. Perhaps one that has left the courts of the Lord, turned aside. There is hope if that which has been sown in their heart is like this good seed. It's like this good seed, and the heavenly husbandman hath sown it there in that which hath prepared. Yes, perhaps that one has said, well, I will not have this man to reign over me, this one to reign over me. I will not hear such things as those things in the gospel, but Almighty God has opened his ear. Not the natural ear which rejects it, but the ear of the heart, and it's been sown there, fixed there. They try to shut it out, and yet what a mercy. I will work, and who shall let it? None can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? Oh, blessed be God, it is not left to you or I. It's not left to another. There's one that sows a good seed, and so he shall, in that ground which he hath prepared. Yes, and he shall likewise work that in them, to know and do of his good pleasure. He'll work that in them, and they shall bring forth fruit. Not to their own honour and glory. No, they're less than the least. They're less than the least of all saints. But that honour and glory, the desire will be to put it on his head. So there'll be that which is manifest in time. And you may say, well, you said about the tares. Looks very similar when it is thrashed out. But when the plant is there, there is a slight difference between the ear of that one and that which is true wheat. Yes, and I saw someone last year, I believe it was, a large field of wheat, and there they were, prior to the harvest. There were those out with bags, a dozen or so, making their way through this very large field, pulling up those ears, or breaking them off, those ears which were of no use, that it might not drop its seed or be found gathered in amongst that which is good. How solemn. They were to be burnt. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather first, ye together first the tares. As I said, that was done first. Ah, yes, by that time the wheat, it doesn't get disturbed much and the ground is harder, but it is easy then to see these dominant plants above the top that have grown up together. Yes, grown up together. Let them grow up together until the harvest. And that's how solemn it is. When we think of one and another, I can remember being even at the deathbed of one and I trembled. What a mercy though when Almighty God works in their heart, even in those last days of their life. But when it is otherwise, how solemn. Let them grow up together. Let them grow up together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I'll say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, bind them. The certainty of it, bind them. Well, being bound is that brought into that where we look along in these lines, a bondage. And what will that bondage be? Eternal death, from where there is no escape. There's a great goal fixed. It cannot be altered. They will not gain that liberty. Yes, and as we read often those words, we quote them, as a tree falls, so it shall lie. But oh, the blessing to that which is unto the wheat. The wheat which God hath prepared the heart of a sinner. And that which has sprung up there by the grace of God has been so. That which is seen in the ear, the fruit of it. Not to be burned, but it gathered in. Gathered in. So gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Oh, the blessedness of it. The wondrousness of it. If we should be found amongst the wheat. Ah, yes. The plants of his choosing. But all we read these solemn words, we know, it makes this one tremble. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. Jacob, in that way, wheat. Esau, a tear. We read concerning those two that were crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. One, yes, although perhaps in that way before the eyes of men he was seen to be no different. But in that day of harvest, that which was shown then, was seen then by that heavenly husbandman. Yes, was that purpose of grace wrought in him in that time of his life, those last moments? He was gathered in. Yes, he's brought to true repentance and godly sorrow. And that's what we each need to be brought to. We indeed justly suffer for the deeds done in our bodies, but this man hath done nothing amiss. He is brought to see Christ. Ah, yes, in the fullness of Christ, in that beauty of Christ, that one, the spotless Lamb, I believe it's all revealed to him there. He is brought to this, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. One, a tear, gathered up, bound up and burned. And that one, this day, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Does it concern you? Does it concern I? And certainly as we look upon the fields, perhaps those that know nothing of these things, it doesn't enter into their thoughts in this way. But I saw some fields where there's a multitude of these dominant weeds, way above the wheat. But thinking of that machine that gathers them, literally mows them off above the top of the wheat, they're gathered into a receptacle, and they would be burnt to stop that seed ever having coming to fruition again. And then the harvest, then follows a harvest in due time. The wheat to be gathered in. Ah, how stands the case, my soul, with thee? How is it whilst life shall last? How will it be when called to die? Yes, those two there, one a tear and the other a ripened ear of wheat. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn number 289. Hymn 289 to the tune of Jonathan 356. Thus far my God has led me on and made his truth and mercy known. My hopes and fears all turn at rise, and comforts mingle with my sighs. Is this, dear Lord, that thorny road which leads us to the Mount of God? Are these the toils thy people know? While in this wilderness below, 'tis even so. Thy faithful love does all thy children's graces prove. 'Tis thus our pride and self must fall, that Jesus may be all in all. Hymn 289, tune Jonathan 356.
Lord, hear us, thy prayer.
to bless thy word. Oh, may it search us each out. May there be a trying of our ways. Are we truly amongst the planting of the Lord? How solemn if we should come to the end of our days. May have that likeness on the outward appearance, but all to be found a tear. Not come up from that right root or that right seed in the first place, was not like that engrafted branch into the living vine. Oh, the solemnity of it. So make us right and keep us each right. But oh, lead us each forth by that forth for that right way, that we might go to that city of habitation, whose builder and maker is God. All that might be gathered in. Yes, amongst the corn. Yes, from the field of thy planting. Yes, we shall have to come, shall we not, we are brought there. And we shall have to say it is all of grace. It was of grace. That unmerited favour of Almighty God. Oh, we think of those two that were crucified on either side of thee. One, love from all eternity. The other, yes, Esau have I hated from all eternity. These things offend men, do they not? But oh, when we're brought to see this, what a mercy. That the Lord knows them that are his, and they shall come. They shall hear the voice of the shepherd. And certainly they shall be those of thy planting, thy choosing. And they shall bring forth fruit unto righteousness. Oh, we plead then. Do have mercy upon us each. Pardon and forgive all thou hast heard and seen amiss. Do take, dear one of oneself, now down to Rotherfield and help us there. And grant safe journeys in due time back here in the evening hour. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.